And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. And they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When he had come to the end of those days, when we had come to the end of those days, we departed, went on our way. They all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship and they returned home. Next slide. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren and stayed with them one day. And on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed. A lot of traveling here. We who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea. Where are they?
Caesarea.
Okay, remember that. Just make a little mental note on the side. We'll come back to that also. Came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, when we heard these things, both we and those who were from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Praise God. Three times in this passage, prophets come up to Paul and tell him that danger awaits him in Jerusalem. In fact, we've got all three of those little specific places right up there on the screen. First of all, they had some people there that prophesied and they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Then they get to the house of Philip the evangelist. In verse 9, it says, "Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied." And in the context that they're not talking about there that they just, you know, that was their way of life. In the context, they're saying that they prophesied to them. And because of the flow of the context and the idea, it's reasonable, and commentaries will agree with this, it's reasonable to assume that they were prophesying basically the same thing that those other guys were saying, that they likewise prophesied to them of the dangers awaiting Paul in Jerusalem. Verse 11, then Agabus comes. He's mentioned earlier in Acts. He prophesied that a famine would come, and it did. So he's got a proven solid track record. Agabus comes and says, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt, deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So three times, right in this passage alone, you have people coming up to Paul saying, "Man, you are in deep trouble. If you go to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you, they're going to arrest you, your life is going to be in danger." And they just felt that he ought not to go. In fact, they pleaded with him and cried to him. They wept over him and said, "Paul, man, we love you. What are you doing? Just, you know, why are you so hard? Why are you set on doing this thing?" And Paul refused to listen to them. Now, my next question to you is this. Was Paul wrong to disobey those exhortations from the prophets? How many people say no? Okay. How many people say yes? Okay. How many people don't know? Okay. Good. I believe that Paul was I love that I can do that. When you have the microphone, you have power, man. I tell you, you can. I believe that Paul was absolutely right not to turn from Jerusalem. I think he did exactly what God wanted him to do. In spite of the danger and the chains that awaited him, in spite of his friends pleading with him, saying how much they loved him and they didn't want him to go and be in danger, in spite of the fact that he was needed by the church, and if they arrested him and if they executed him or imprisoned him, the church would be devastated by the loss of this mighty leader, this mighty man of God. In spite of a whole list of practical reasons why it would be ridiculous for him to go to Jerusalem, in spite of the list of all these prophets coming and warning him of the dangers, I believe he did exactly what God wanted him to do when he left. And here's why. Here's why. In the last chapter of Acts, instead we're in 21, back in chapter 20, Paul gathers together these elders from the city of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, one of the biggest churches there at the time. It was one of the most significant churches in the New Testament. He gathers these elders together, and he tells them that he is well aware of what's going to happen to him at Jerusalem. Before this even happened, he says, you know, buds, God has shown me some stuff. I'm in danger. I'm in a heap of trouble. This is exactly what he said to him. In Acts 20, verses 22 to 24, he said to these Ephesian elders, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. God was calling Paul to Jerusalem. He had a mission there. He had a commission there. He had an entrustment from God. He had a race to run and to finish. And he had set his face like a flint that even if everything hell had was thrown in his way, he was going on in God to do what God had called him to do. Nothing was going to stop him from being obedient to the call of God on his life, to the calling that he had to fulfill in Jesus Christ in the gospel. And it was unknown to Paul at that time. He didn't realize this, but God was going to use what happens to him in Jerusalem, as scary as it is, as violent as it got, as crazy and chaotic as it got, God was going to use that very thing in order to allow Paul to preach the gospel in Rome, the capital of the entire Roman Empire at that time. In fact, Jesus told him a little bit later from now in Acts 23, he said, but the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness, where?
At Rome.
God had a bigger picture in mind. He had a plan. He had a master plan, a strategy. And it had to go to Jerusalem to do it. Now, Paul was about to go on an amazing journey. I mean, literally, really, a journey that would be mind-blowing to him if he could see it. Yes, he was going to be insulted in Jerusalem by the Jews. They were going to riot. They were literally going to try to kill him. They'd be pounding on him, trying to rip him limb from limb. He was going to be arrested by the Roman army in order to save his life. He's going to be taken away for protection, number one, to preserve his life, but also for trial to find out what in the world he's doing that's causing these riots and all this uproar in Jerusalem. Ultimately, he's going to use his citizenship, his Roman citizenship, to appeal to Caesar. He's going to take advantage of the laws of the land, appeal to Caesar, and he's going to have, check this out, he will have the Roman army escort him on his way from Jerusalem to Rome, with their protection and at their expense. Let that sink in for a moment. Here's this missionary. He is beat up, bruised, bloodied, bent over, barely can see. He has been on the road a long time. He has seen some hard times, and people want to kill him and take him out. God wants him to go to Rome. That could be hugely significant for the gospel. Satan doesn't want him to get there. So what does God do? Arranges for Paul to get arrested in Jerusalem so that he can have the protection of over 400 soldiers of the Roman army to escort him on his way. At their expense, with their food, with their soldiers, their money. And it's the Roman government, for crying out loud. That is amazing. For God to take this, and this, Paul was a little guy, man, this little old beat up, road weary dude, you know, and surround him with 400 soldiers of the Roman army, feed him along the way so that he can go on the journey God has sent him to and safely get there. That is amazing.